Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of it!
Everybody up there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM. And if you're joining me today via iTunes on podcast or on the Grill Nation Show .com website, we greatly appreciate it. You connect with me on social media on Twitter at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. So on social media, just search for Jason Grill. I want to thank our partners and supporters of the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill as we get started here today. Title sponsors of the show are MoBank and BOK Financial, as well as Two West Companies and Ryan Rink. Contributors to the Grill Nation Show include the KCADC. I want to thank Tim Cowden for his support and for joining me and bringing on some really great guests. And the Port KC, I want to thank John Stevens as well for coming on occasionally and always supplying us with really good guests, great contributors, but and also great title sponsors of the show, MoBank, BOK Financial. Okay, on today's show, we are going to mix things up a little bit. Very excited to have on the show Steven Spector. He's on Twitter at StevenSpector10. He's the program director of 610 Sports here in KC. He actually was born in Washington, D.C., and he went to Syracuse. He's now Kansas City, and I want to talk to him about kind of his background. What exactly does a program director do at a sports station? Maybe get into some hot topics involving Kansas City sports and kind of some fun things that will be happening here soon. So I want to welcome onto the show Steven Spector. Again, he is the program director of 610 Sports. They're on Twitter at 610 Sports KC. We're going to start with him today, and we're going to see where the show takes us.
Sounds good. Steven, thanks for having me, Jason. Good. How are you?
It's good to have you on the show. I have never had you on, but you had me on one of your podcasts recently.
Yeah, talking a little legalized gambling. Unfortunately, it didn't happen in the state of Missouri, but it did just happen to the north of us in Iowa. So hopefully it happens in 2020, but I appreciate you coming on.
So if you
want
to go to Iowa.
Yeah, it's just a little quick 2.5 hour jaunt up I-35.
You can gamble there.
Yeah, you got to go to a casino, you got to get registered, and then anywhere once you're in the state of Iowa, download an app, and as long as you're within those borders, you can legally gamble on sports. And we're, a couple days away from the start of college football, so it's
going to be a great revenue driver for that. We've talked about that on your show. I've been following the Missouri and Kansas legislation as a former legislator of Missouri very closely. Back when I was in politics, I actually sponsored a resolution to like try to get Congress to overturn their rules. But at the time, you know, the Supreme Court had their issue. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so it's evolved. And I think it's in, you know, almost 20 states now, are getting close to 15 to 20 states. So, you know, Missouri and Kansas might take it over again, I guess, in 2020 and look at it. So hopefully that'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's
especially for Kansas City.
Especially for Kansas City. It's big money on both sides of the state line. It's something that's becoming more and more mainstream. And as you said, all these states are starting to
like
legalize
it. Like very conservative states, too.
I mean, Iowa did it before Missouri and Kansas. You know, let's get this done in 2020. Let's make Saturdays and Sundays more about going to the casino and putting a little action on some of our local teams.
I love that. I love that. Steven Spector. So, Steven, you grew up on the East Coast, huh?
Yeah, I grew up in Washington, D.C., in the Maryland, D.C. region, and then went to Syracuse, so stayed on the East Coast for kind of my entire life. And then 7 years ago, moved here to KC on a whim for a job opportunity. Worked for a station back in D.C. for 5 years out of college, but just wasn't going anywhere. And saw an opportunity here at 610 Sports Radio in KC and jumped at it.
So you grew up in the D.C. area. What was that like, first of all, with all the politics around there? And just a different world, kind of. I used to live there, so I'm curious to see what someone that actually grows up there thinks about it.
It's different because, like, living here, nobody has much of an opinion on politics.
They don't want to talk about it.
And they don't want to talk about it. Like, it's not a family dinner table conversation. At Thanksgiving, that's what everybody's yelling about in D.C. or on a Saturday night.
And they're all reading the Washington Post and the Metro.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just strange. Like, I won't say who, but our backdoor neighbors in Georgetown were running for president.
Okay.
People down the street were senators. So, like, we saw black Suburbans and, you know, Secret Service detail, just like normal kind of, not normal life, but it wasn't uncommon to see that kind of growing up in the D.C. area.
That's interesting.
It was weird.
I bet, yeah. And then, as far as the sports town, how was it?
Terrible.
It's terrible, but it's growing now, right? It's getting better.
The Nats
are popular.
The Nats are popular. The Caps won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But it'll always be a Redskins town. But as far as like sports fandom goes, it's really not a great sports town because it's so transient.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is actually from Washington, D.C. I mean, people are from Maryland or from Virginia. But as far as D.C. goes, it's all people shuffling in and out for government jobs. So there's not that hardcore sports fan. It's a great event town, but it's not a great sports town.
Mm. And so you went to Syracuse journalism school, right?
Smart enough to get into the journalism school.
Well, I was wondering why, you know, that's what I always see on TV. You see people who have done that from Syracuse.
So that's what it's known for, and that's why I wanted to go there.
But you see a lot of like talk show hosts that have been there.
Yeah,
on
we've had some roll through here in Kansas City. A lot of great play-by-play guys have gone to Syracuse as well. So that's why I wanted to go there. Ended up actually majoring in history and then just did student radio. But I knew that radio is what I always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just worked internships every summer at Syracuse and everywhere in between, from Milwaukee to D.C. to Boston. And
how far away is Syracuse from New York City?
It's like a 3.5 hour drive,
so
it's not a fun drive though. Especially once you get into the winter months, it's really brutal.
Yeah, but you have the arena there, the Carrier Dome.
Yep,
it's football and basketball.
It doesn't actually have air conditioning.
Okay.
Yeah, a little fun known fact that Carrier air conditioning doesn't have air conditioning in the Carrier Dome.
So what do you do in football games? I mean, that gets pretty warm, I'd assume.
It gets really warm, and you get I don't know what it is about going to football in a dome. You are exhausted when you leave. I don't know whether the air is not getting filtered in, but after every game, no beer, no nothing, you're exhausted after every football game.
So take us through the journey to getting to Kansas City. You said you did a bunch of odd jobs, internships all around the country.
Yeah, so I've been an intern at a Boston sports radio station, a Milwaukee sports radio station. I did minor league baseball summer play-by-play. I did an internship at a D.C. sports radio station. That's where I ultimately got my first job.
Wow.
But I've done all the internships from high school through college because I really focus on wanting to do radio. And then my first job out of college was just kind of board hopping for $9, $10 an hour, getting 8-10 hours a week. And I had a second job working the front desk at a gym. And I just kind of...
Where was that at?
In Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And just cobbled together kind of paycheck by paycheck for the first couple of years out of college. I kind of hit a ceiling at the station, and I saw that there was a job opening in Kansas City. Luckily, I grew up a Chiefs fan, and I jumped at it.
You were in D.C. then?
Yeah, and I was in D.C.
When you saw the Chiefs, the Kansas City job.
When I saw the Kansas City job opening, this was January of 13. And, you know, I said, listen, I love D.C. My friends are here. My family's here. But I got to start, you know, making moves in my life. I was 26 years old. And by that time, I, you know, wanted to go on dates. And I couldn't afford to go on dates a lot early in my life. So
you came to Kansas City and you mentioned you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I grew up a Chiefs fan. Joe Montana was the first name that I knew in football. And he got traded from the 49ers to the Chiefs. So I became a Chiefs fan.
But not a Redskins fan.
My dad's a New Yorker. So his one rule, if I wasn't going to be a Giants fan, I couldn't be a Redskins fan. So the Chiefs took over my life at a young age.
Because of Joe Montana.
Because of Joe Montana, and then the Sega Genesis Joe Montana Football 94, my first video game. So that's how it happened.
That was a good game.
That was a great game.
I liked the Madden 93. I like NBA Live 93. That was a good one. Anthony Peeler for the Lakers. Never forget that.
Lefty.
Good.
He's
Missouri
from Kansas
guy.
City, is he not?
He is, yes, yes. He was unbelievable, I'll tell you that. We're talking to Steven Spector. He's the program director of 610 Sports. They're on Twitter at 610 Sports KC. After the break, I want to talk to him more about a lot of this fun stuff and then get into some of the local teams as well. You're listening to The Grill Nation.
I thought I saw a man brought to life. He was warm, he came around like he was dignified.
Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show, 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast. And if you're joining me on grillnationshow.com, I greatly appreciate it, where all of our podcasts for all of our shows are, as well as photos of me and our guests. Very excited today to have on a first-time guest, again, Steven Spector, who is the program director of 610 Sports. He's on Twitter at StevenSpector10. He's also, you can check out at 610 Sports KC on Twitter. And what is your website is 610sports.com. Steven, you mentioned you were a Chiefs fan growing up. You mentioned you moved here about 6-7 years ago. Tell us about your career here. I know you started as kind of a behind-the-scenes guy, right?
Yeah, so I was the producer of Fesco in the Morning from mid-2013 to the beginning of 2018.
God bless you.
5 years of the 4:30 a.m. wake up certainly takes its toll.
Yeah, what time did you go to bed for that? Curiously, because I know a lot of meteorologist types or morning show people in Kansas City, and they get up pretty early.
I can survive on probably 6 hours sleep, so I was usually in bed between 9 and 9:30.
That's tough as a sports guy, though.
It is. Like, you NBA Finals, couldn't stay up for the fourth quarter unless I really wanted to, you know, drag the next morning. Baseball obviously gets tough. Football, you stay up because you got to. Football's just a different animal. But I was always kind of in bed, 9, 9:30, asleep by 10. Mm-hmm. 6.5 hours sleep. But my key, what I found was I didn't nap Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I only napped on Wednesdays. But that nap on Wednesday was like 12 o'clock to 5 p.m. So like it was almost sleeping, yeah. But that really got me through, and that helped me catch up for the second half of the week.
So you did that with Bob Fesco and his show. And then what?
Then I was afternoons with Carrington for most of 2018. And then our boss left in December of 18, so I've now been in the program director.
You were kind of the producer?
I was a producer of the afternoon show. And on the air. And also the assistant program director for most of 2018.
Okay.
So it was just kind of the logical next step once my boss departed.
So when your boss departs in radio, what happens? So you were the next in line, like you're vice president, and you get appointed to be president.
I guess that's one way to look at it. I'd been in training for it for a long time.
Okay. See, the general public doesn't know about that.
No, because it's all behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. They listen to what they see and hear. But there's so much work that goes in behind the scenes into putting on 24 hours of live radio. Albeit a lot of it is simulcasted from Fox Sports and national stuff, but there's a lot of work that goes into. Not only what those guys do on the air, but you incorporate sales and promotions. It's a big tanker, and it's hard to move around really quickly. So there's a lot of pre-work that goes into it.
So yeah, so talk to us about that. You've been on the job now for how long?
9 months.
So you are the program director here. Of 610. What does that day look like for you?
It's much more 9 to 5 as opposed to show-based, but it's a mix of listening to the guys on the air. It's a mix of meeting with those guys on the air. Hey, what's working? What's not working? Part of it is sales driven because, that's the engine that drives the ship. You got to have advertising and, stuff costs money. And then part of it is promotions, pulling off big events and making sure that, hey, we're doing the best thing possible. Like, for example, July is usually a really slow time for sports radio. People are on summer vacation. It's just baseball. And then you look at that week of the All-Star Week, there's no professional sports on. So this year we planned something called Christmas in July, where we gave away a big prize every day, but that takes time. I mean, I started planning that in February, and it took 5 months to get that going. And then, just like that, 1 week it's over. So it's a lot of pre-planning, talking with the guys, and it's everywhere from on-air programming, sales, and promotions. Those are kind of the three pillars of the whole thing.
Okay. And so talk to us about kind of how it's all separated here. You have how many shows a day that are local?
Three main day parts, 6A to 6P. Then, Royals during the nine months of the year.
You have the Royals here, so.
We have a night show that is 6 from 9 when the Royals aren't on. And then we have specialized shows here and there during football season. College football shows and so on and so forth.
And then you do a handful of podcasts, too.
Ton of podcasts, yeah. We have the 435 Podcast Network up. Which is everywhere from sports to pop culture and everywhere in between. We just want people to come into the umbrella of 610 Sports Radio. They may not want to hear a HBO show review on the air at 7:30 in the morning, but maybe they'll come listen to a podcast at 610sports.com. So that's kind of the idea of bringing everything under the umbrella.
And people like the hosts like doing that stuff.
They do.
They like talking about stuff that isn't always X's and O's.
The job of radio is to entertain, right? Not just to talk the X and O sports. You want to laugh and learn in every 15 minutes that you're in the car, and that's what we try and do.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about kind of Steven Spector's with us. Talk to us about how things have changed over your 6 years at this station.
Radio or
learned,
the city?
What have you learned? Yeah, all of those things. What have you learned? What have you learned about the city? What are some takeaways?
I didn't think I'd last a year here, honestly.
Yeah. That's what all Syracuse guys think, right?
So exactly. I live downtown. I've been in a downtown apartment for the last 7 years.
It's awesome.
But I moved in during one of those massive snowstorms of 2013, if you remember. I was like, what did I get myself into?
Yeah.
Didn't have any friends. And I just remember walking out of my downtown apartment and there was nobody on the street. And that's obviously the exact opposite of Washington, D.C.
Right.
I was like, man, this is a lot smaller than I thought. And then just like year by year, one or two businesses pop up. The Crossroads is booming. River Market's now a madhouse. Columbus Park is starting to have some build to it.
Yeah, those guys are doing it in the East Bottoms with Jay Rieger.
Exactly. I went to Jay Rieger on Sunday. Like, there's just one cool thing after another now happening. And that wasn't the case in 2013. I think it's neighborhood by neighborhood. But, man, you talk about kind of River Market to, you know, the Western Auto Building.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much it's been built up.
East and now Crossroads, too, over there.
You can eat downtown. You can shop downtown. You can do everything downtown, which is what I was used to.
Yeah.
And it's now just so great. And, you know, me and my fiance are looking for a house, but I love living in the River Market.
It's
going
to be hard for you
area.
To move, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because I live downtown too, and then I bought a house, and it's hard. You get used to just walking everywhere.
Yeah. You know, you're within striking distance of walking to a bar or a restaurant. It's just, that's the life that I grew up living, and it's certainly going to be a change. But from 13 to 19, Kansas City is a drastically way better city, and I could never now imagine moving out of it.
That's awesome. That's good to hear.
Yeah. I mean,
people come here and sometimes they don't leave.
Well, they have the perception, you know, Midwest, not Chicago, not Dallas. This is a great city and it's only getting better. I think we've done a great job of promoting ourselves the last 6 years.
How do the athletes or people that come into town, I know that you're in the sports media, like how do the media that comes from out of town to cover the Chiefs or the Royals or, you know, in these big games, what do they think? Like, how do they react?
They think barbecue.
Besides the airport. Let's get rid of the airport equation.
Okay.
Because
that is an issue. That's what I do hear about from most people.
That is happening and it's going to change.
They think barbecue. Like, you come in for a Chiefs game or the beat writers come in for a baseball game. They have 3 days or 2 days. Their first stop is always barbecue. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's kind of one of the pillars of what we built our city on. And then I think they're always surprised at how great the people are, just going out and about. And then, honestly, cost of living, like what it costs to, you know, you have a beat writer in for 2 or 3 days and they want to go get a drink and have a meal and it's $17 as opposed to $35 if they're coming from another major market.
Yeah.
I mean, the affordability of that, the hospitality of the people, and then the barbecue, that's a pretty good 2 or 3 days for Kansas City.
I like it.
And they spread that word.
Steven Spector is with us, program director of 610 Sports. He's at Steven Spector 10. Steven, got a few minutes left. I'm gonna want to talk to you about the upcoming Chiefs season. What are your thoughts going into the season? What are your expectations? What are you hearing from your listeners about?
I think it's Super Bowl or bust.
Mm-hmm.
Make the Super Bowl or bust, I should say. Last year, they were an offsides away from being in the Super Bowl and dethroning Tom Brady and the Patriots. And now this is year two of Mahomes being a starter. They have probably the best offense in the NFL. They've addressed some parts of their defense. There's still certainly some holes from what was one of the worst historical defenses in 2018. But this season is about Super Bowl or bust. And what we're probably hearing the most from listeners is it doesn't matter if they go 10-6 or 12-4. Get in the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, and that's the next logical step for this organization that hasn't been back to the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl since the 60s.
Yeah.
So, like, there's
We've never seen one in my lifetime.
Yeah, there's a real yearning for a Super Bowl appearance. And, you know, we got a taste of it with the Royals 4 years ago. I think people want that taste again. And I think people are pretty confident because for the first time, at least in my lifetime as a Chiefs fan since 93, there's a quarterback who I believe can actually do it. I've never had that feeling in the last 26 years.
Mm-hmm. I kind of tend to agree with you, and I feel like it's the same way. What are you predicting for a win total this year?
Vegas has them at 10.5 wins. I think minimum 11 wins. Mm-hmm. The way they're
I went through the schedule the other day, and I thought, you know, 11 or 12 probably.
And again,
with a couple, well, they might have a stumbling block.
They'll,
one of those road games.
They always do with an Andy Reid team. It is the NFL.
They lose one of those home games that they shouldn't lose.
Yeah, if you take away injuries, right, and just say who's the better team, they're the better team in the majority of the games, and they have the better quarterback, and I would say 13 of those games. So I think 11-5, 12-4 is a realistic win total for this year.
Hmm. Why is everyone so down on Tom Brady this year in fantasy? I have a few fantasy drafts coming
up. No Gronk.
He's like 20th. I'm like, how is this possible that a guy went from top three? This is what always gets crazy. You know, you got Matthew Berry, who's been on one of my shows a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he's like top three quarterback the next year, 20th. Or you're just like, how?
No Gronk, more running game, and he is 43.
Oh, he is 43
now. His stats were down. Again, they won the Super Bowl. So, there's a difference between being a good quarterback and being a good fantasy quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a great quarterback. I don't know if he's a great fantasy quarterback. Hmm. Plenty of better options than Tom Brady.
Yeah, there is definitely. Steven Spector's with me. Okay, you said you're getting married here. You've got a minute left.
Yeah, coming up in a couple weeks.
So, tell us about that. Are you excited? You obviously are pretty... That's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's 13 months of work for her, 12 months of me being, you know, sarcastic and kind
13
of
13 months, yeah, that's a long
time.
Yeah,
we got engaged last August, so the wedding is coming up in September, but I'm anxious for it to happen.
Now you're definitely staying here.
Definitely staying here, exactly. anxious for it to happen and then excited for the wedding to actually start. I'm, like, anxious for the ceremony and ready for the party, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun time.
Yeah,
man.
So it should be a good time, and then that next day is the kickoff of the NFL season. So if I get to be on the couch at noon, it should be a really great weekend. If not, we'll have to have a conversation.
There you go. There you go. Steven Spector has been with us on the Grill Nation show. Great guy. I'm going to try to have him on every once in a while to talk about Kansas City sports. I appreciate you coming on the show, Steven.
Thank you.
Program director at 610. We'll be right back after the break. Hello and welcome back to the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM and on iTunes via podcast or at our website, grillnationshow.com. You can connect with me on social media at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show on Twitter. Also, I'm available all over social media. Just search for my name, Jason Grill. I've enjoyed this show today so far. Hope you've enjoyed it as well. On our next segment, we want to bring in a familiar guest to some of you if you've been listening since the start of our show. For the last few years, but also somebody that you probably will recognize from his stints on television and all the different radio he does here in Kansas City and with different sports going around town. His name is Joel Goldberg. He's on Twitter at GoldbergKC. He is the pre- and post-game reporter for the Kansas City Royals as well as the in-game host. He's also has done play-by-play for the Kansas City Mavericks. He's a keynote speaker. JoelGoldbergMedia.com. Joel, how are you this morning?
I am great. As we're recording this, I like to get out and about. We've talked about this before in the cities we visit with the Royals, but it's like triple-digit heat index in Baltimore, so I actually did get out, go to breakfast this morning, and now I'm just sitting in the air-conditioned confines of my room looking out at the Inner Harbor and really happy to be doing that.
So it's about the same here. It was really nice weather here last week, and it's when you guys had the homestand, of course, and then it got close to 100 the other day, and it's very muggy here too. So you're not missing out on any good weather here. But you mentioned you're in Baltimore, great stadium there. Is it still hold up these days? It's been around for a while.
Yeah, I think it's held up as well, if not better than any of the stadiums that were kind of born in that generation. It's one of my favorites, maybe my favorite of that group of stadiums that were built around that. I mean, the negative is no one's going to the games. They've really struggled and been one of the worst teams in baseball for a number of years, so understandably, there's a lot of apathy here. More so in Kansas City, because we ended up with a championship to show, and I think that built a lot of equity with the fans. But it's still just, to me, one of my favorite stadiums. Really, really cool place.
Plus, you have the Nats emergence onto the scene in the Beltway area, right? I mean, I imagine a lot of Orioles fans who maybe weren't lifelongers. There's a lot of transients in that area, of course, because of the capital and the government up there, but they've probably become Nats fans too, because the Nats were very successful.
Right. I don't know all the history of who, I mean, I do know that if you are in the Baltimore area, you for the most part don't want anything to do with the Nats. And if you're in D.C., and I mean, you know the area better than me, if you're in D.C. and you're either there for life, which probably most people aren't, or more transient, as you're talking about, I think the Nationals become a very easy team to adopt. You see, I always feel like I see a lot of people in the political world, whether it be politicians or media members, that are always talking about the Nationals. So I think that's probably the team that they've adopted.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Joel Goldberg is with us. Joel, you've been a busy man. Where are we at in the season here? We're winding down here. You've got maybe about a month left, month and a half left.
Yeah, a little over a
month,
yeah.
What's this year been like for you? We haven't had you on the show, I don't think, since the season began, or maybe since the end of last year. What's your road taking you like? No. What's it been like? It's a young team. Some good times, some bad times.
You know, the thing, I think I've told you this a little bit before, is that I've been doing this so long that I think that me, the guys that I work with, that you see on TV, I think probably the radio guys too. You know, we've been through every bit of the highs and the lows, and for better and worse, we're really programmed to. You know, a game is over and we move on. That's not really a typical fan response, but it's worked for us. It's great work. It's the best work for us. But I do think, and there is a lesson here too that I think applies, and I talk about this a little bit in some of my speeches in some form or another about positivity and energy. I think that for most fans, being able to get upset about your team or just experience the emotions and the highs and the lows, the good, the bad, everything that comes with it, is a great diversion from life, from work, from whatever. And for me, and I think most of us in the business, we can't really afford to have those emotions because it's not a diversion, it's work. And so I try to stay upbeat and positive every day, no matter what the results are. But former broadcast partner, the late Paul Splitter, taught me that you know, we're not here to get upset about the losses or to lose sleep over the losses. They're, you know, fans have those emotions, and people in the front office and coaches and players are the ones that, you know, might go to sleep at night concerned about a slump or a losing streak. We're here to talk about it. So that mentality has really helped me, and I think it's one that probably applies to any business too. I mean, we all have ups and downs with whatever we do in life, but you know, you got to be able to grind through them and keep that positive attitude. So for me, I've really enjoyed this year, and don't get me wrong too, I mean, when you're winning, it's a lot easier, it's a lot more fun. Of course, there's more to talk about, there's more that people are interested in, but we're seeing so many new players this year and last year that I don't think fans know their stories yet. And they don't really know them, their personalities and what they look like and how they play the game on the field and on and on. So I think that, you know, to me, there's a great privilege and responsibility in being able to tell these stories. And as I'm learning more about each of these kids and what makes them tick and their family backgrounds and, you know, their journeys to get here, that's really been a lot of fun for me. And we just had a kid last night hit his first big league home run in his fourth big league game. He was the fifth Royal to hit his first career home run this year. And so to be a part of that, a memory that he and his family will never forget, those are the moments to me that I really, really love.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a lot of young players. That's where most people I talk to are excited about the future because of the young, you know, bats and the, you know, the pitching has got to be fixed apparently. But, you know, the young players, the core players are all kind of getting set in place. Which is exciting. I mean, because that's kind of how the first time around went. The last time around, we made a run in the World Series. So that's exciting stuff. And I think you're right. I think a lot of these players, as the Royals, you know, just when they get back to 500 or competitive here in the next few years, there's going to have a lot of eyeballs. You know, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help that the Chiefs are Super Bowl or bust this year, in my opinion. Not win, but make it. I think that's kind of what most people want to see happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you had all that happen with the Royals here 3 or 4 years ago. So, I went to a game the other night, Joel. I had been to probably 3 games this year, and it was an exciting ball game. I mean, it was versus the Mets. It was tight. It was good pitching. It was, you know, almost a grand slam. It was fun. I mean, there's a lot of fun things happening, and a lot of the players that I wanted to go see, you know, and that are exciting players, and I just like the core of the young team that's forming here from my perspective, and I imagine from your perspective interviewing these guys, they're a good group of guys.
Well, I mean, I think there are a couple of things here, Jason. One is that, you know, and I think this is probably true across the board anywhere. When you have somebody that's new and innocent and young, they're wide-eyed, and, you know, that's true in any profession. And so there's an innocence to it that you know will not stay there forever. And that doesn't mean that, that they'll all turn bad or anything like that. But, you know, they are wide-eyed right now and enjoying every single moment and struggling with failure like young guys do. And, you know, as we get older and, you know, you never get old, Jason. But
oh, yeah.
Do.
Joe, I turned 40 last week, actually.
Wow.
You know, I know. When you turn 40, Joel, do you start to like rethink everything? Was that kind of your time where you're like, what am I going to do with my life? Or are you?
I think you get a little bit of that.
It doesn't feel as old as it did when my parents turned 40. I'll tell you that.
Well, of course not, because you're there now. But everything hurts a little bit more. That's the one thing that I noticed. But you know, those kids right now don't have that perspective yet. And I sit there and I feel like I'm more aware of what's going on. You know, I'm more eyes wide open. I'm more in the moment. And so it's fun just to kind of recognize and watch all of that and sit there and know that, you know what, this kid may not make it. This kid could be a superstar one day. We're watching the beginning of it. Who's the next superstar? Who's, you know, who in this group is going to be here when they make their next run? And they will make a run. Don't know if they'll ever, you know, win it all again or not. No guarantees. But, you know, it's fun to kind of sit there and I think this is true, too, for, I mean, I think fans in general, one of the reasons why I sense there's less angst, I'm hearing less complaints this time around because they've seen a blueprint before.
Right.
And so nobody likes this, but I sense that people can look and say, you know what, we're looking at a young Adalberto Mondesi and we see what Whit Merrifield's doing and we're seeing Hunter Dozier and, hey, wait a minute. They're, you know, these guys could be a part of something.
And you got Solaire, who's tearing the cover off the ball. And you got Salvi coming back. I mean, there's a lot of pieces.
No, there's a lot of pieces. And there's a lesson in Solaire, too, because I heard from so many people when they acquired him and he wasn't doing much. He was hurt. Well, this is ridiculous. How could you trade Wade Davis, the star closer?
Are you talking about me, Joel?
I don't know if you were one of those or not. But
I was a big Wade Davis fan. So I think everyone was, but
you know, I'm often accused by people, including my wife, of being too rational with this. And sports, again, getting back to Divergent and all that, is there's an irrational side to being a fan, which is fun. But that trade was made for 1 year left of Wade Davis, for 4 years of Jorge Soler, and now he's on pace to absolutely shatter the club record in home runs, and he's one of the best home run hitters in baseball. So, you know, that was a long-term play.
I liked
it. And we're not wired for long-term, you know, in general. Again, it gets back to IM because this is my job. But it's fun to kind of watch the big picture and see those things develop. But we always thought with Soler that if he could stay healthy, it would happen. And that obviously has been it. It's kind of cool to have a player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Which just happened recently here now, too.
And Joel, we're going to have to cut to break here. I know you're on the line here, but I'm going to continue this conversation after the break. I want to continue this great conversation with Joel Goldberg from Fox Sports Kansas City. He's on Twitter at GoldbergKC after the break. You're listening to Grill Nation.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in myself.
When you're on a holiday. Welcome back to the Grill Nation Show. Final segment of this show. I'm joined again by Joel Goldberg, Fox Sports Kansas City pre- and post-game host. He's also on air during the games. You've seen him for years now with the Kansas City Royals games and whatnot. Also, he does some play-by-play for the Kansas City Mavericks, and he's a very well-recognized and well-known keynote speaker here in the city and also throughout the country. Joel, we're talking about the Royals. You're in Baltimore as we tape this show. Got about a month left. you know, you're going to be taking road trips to the you're going to have a quick road trip, it looks like, to Boston. You're going to be in Cleveland for a little bit, and then you enter September. What happens after the season's over for you, Joel? Do you just take a break for a week, or do you go right back into your other professional engagements? Are you going to hang out with your family? What's going on this year with you, Joel?
I tried to leave that first week open. I don't know if I've successfully done that or not. The bottom line is, if somebody's calling and is hiring me to come speak to them, then I don't, you know, I try to say yes if it works. I do know we have a vacation scheduled later in October, so I'm excited about that. You know, most people celebrate their 20th anniversary around that date, but we wait a bunch of months. But I didn't know if I'd get married during the baseball season before I began a full-time baseball career. But no, I mean, I've got a bunch of speaking engagements in and out of Kansas City lined up for October and November. December gets a little bit more quiet for everybody, I think. And then I think I've got about 9-10 Mavericks games on TV. And this team trying to grow this business. I mean, that's the other side of it. And
they're speaking business.
Really starting to get involved in new projects, which I'm loving branching out like that.
Yeah, you've taken on the entrepreneurial bent. You do have a podcast as well, I believe. You got to look forward to a trip in September, Joel, in Florida. You're going to Miami on the 6th, 7th, and 8th to cover the Royals at the Marlins. That'll be fun.
Yeah, we were actually there a few years ago, so I don't have to check that one off the box, but it could be another 6 years till we're there again. So that's a good trip. And then
we're into the playoffs. You'll be watching the playoffs from home, unfortunately, this year, but everyone's thinking, you know, that the Astros or the Yankees are going to be in this World Series this year. At least they're the betting favorites. Our old friend Zach Greinke. Were you with the Royals when he was on the team?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. I had 3 years with Zach. So one of the truly, you know, unique people to interview, because he just never knew what Zach was going to say. But whatever he said, he said what was on his mind. It still does.
He seems to always be a part of big trades too, Joel, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he just did again recently. You know, he's been on six teams now. I don't think he's won a world championship yet, but certainly was a part of the Royals World Championship and the return they got for him. And this is his 16th, the third active pitcher with 200 wins. He just got that the other day, along with his teammate Justin Verlander. And he actually, when he goes into the Hall of Fame one day, which I think he might, it'll be interesting to see whose hat he wears, because of his 200 wins, 60 came with the Royals, which is more than he's won for any other team.
That'll be fascinating to see, because I think he's one of the better pitchers in this generation, and it will be interesting to see
for
because,
sure.
You know, he might just, you know how Zach is, he might decide to, I guess if he wins a World Series with Houston, he might wear that hat, but we'll see. Yeah. Joel Goldberg is my guest. Joel, you mentioned your other job, keynote speaking. I know you've worked really hard on that. Talk to us a little bit about that and how that's grown over the last few years, because last time you were on the show, you were just kind of beginning that process of putting yourself out there. Everyone knows you as the TV personality and broadcaster. What has that transition been like for you, kind of managing both of those balls, you know, throughout different times of the year?
No, I mean, I think that's a great observation, Jason, because I can't manage it at the same level during the season as out of the season, but I've learned. I think the biggest adjustment I made this year, and this is, really, this will be my third year of doing it, but you know, last year was really starting to kick in, and so, and this will, I think, really be like the second full off season, and a lot of the past years was really heavy on networking. I mean, I've met and sat down with hundreds of people throughout town between going to coffees or doing podcasts and happy hours and on, and I love networking. That's a big part of it, but I think one of the biggest things that I learned this year, and you know, I was recently on a podcast with some guys that you're going to be on with soon, the Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. But Matt DeCourcy and another former podcast guest of mine, Andrew Morgan, I sat the two of them down recently for a panel. We just talked about kind of time management, saying no. And I'm not someone that likes to say no. But what I've learned is that during the baseball season, I just can't keep up that same pace. And so I've learned how to really pick spots and not overload myself, or I won't physically and mentally get through the season. And then I want to be able to get to a point where, and I'm speaking, I mean, I spoke down in Atlanta in July while the Royals were there. I've still been speaking around Kansas City, but maybe it's once a month or twice a month instead of, you know, once or twice a week. And then October hits and it'll be a lot more. So it's it's a lot of laying foundation, meeting people. I mean, it's really not any different than what I do every day at the ballpark, building trust with people. And letting companies and people know that I think that I have a message that can help them. And so it's been great. It's just been a totally different avenue. It's all the same skills, but it's just a totally different world for me, which has really been reinvigorating.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you mentioned time management and just scheduling. You know, this is just like anything in business or consulting. There's times where people need things immediately, and you got to kind of jump and drink from the fire hose. And there's times when you might give a speech or you might talk to someone 6 months ago and no business comes in. And then all of a sudden they call you and say, we need your help. I find that it's hard to predict those things and when you own your own business, but it sounds like what you're doing has been proactive. I did see you having coffees a lot because I think I ran into you at least 4 or 5 times once in month or so when you were different parts of the city meeting new people. And I'd be like, man, Joel, there was a time where I'd have to introduce Joel to people because he was before the Royals won the World Series and nobody knew who Joel was. And now Joel has to introduce me to people. He knows everyone. You know everyone now.
No, you still know more people than me, but you got to put yourself out there. I mean, I think the biggest thing that I've learned is, and this is really a lesson in branding, is if people in Kansas City know me as the Royals guy, if they do, they don't know me as anything more than that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've worked really hard for 3 years to build this brand as someone that that has a message to deliver to companies and groups that can come and talk about culture and talk about building relationships and trust and using that peek behind the curtain of baseball to do so. But as much as I feel like in the last 3 years that I have let people know that I'm doing that from meeting them and social media and building that brand, I'm still reminded on a regular basis that most people don't know I'm doing it. And you get insulated by the world that you're in and the people in the network that you're surrounded by, and that can lead to maybe too comfortable a situation. Maybe comfortable is not the right word, but not an accurate measure of the fact that most people don't know. Mm-hmm. And so I was reminded, I went to a Kansas City Business Journal event maybe last February, which I would have never gone to anything like that before. I didn't even have a subscription, and now I do. And I went to that, and you know, I knew a dozen people there that knew what I was doing, but 70-80% of the people that were there were like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, right.
So it was a good reminder, and by no means am I a branding expert. I've got a great marketing director now that works for me, but I'm learning as I go. I know the people part of it. I know how to connect with people, but it's not easy to build a brand and to get that out there. And I think it's fascinating just to see that process.
Joel Goldberg is with us. Joel, I could talk to you all day long about branding and about marketing, about the Royals, and I can't wait to have you back on and see you again back here in Kansas City when the season's over. I appreciate you joining the Grill Nation show today, guys. You can check out Joel Goldberg on Twitter at GoldbergKC. He's also talking a lot about his professional speaking and MC work. You can check that out at joelgoldbergmedia.com. JG, good to talk to you. Have a great time, and we got to cut the show, but I appreciate you joining us today from Baltimore.
I'm the OG JG because you're only 40.
We'll see you later, Joel. Thank you so much. And thanks for listening to the Grill Nation show. Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.